Back on. And we're on page 19. Page 19. And let's see if I got the right. Okay. Who said we didn't have funny papers in our papers? In our cartoons, at least. And I had to do a little modification with it so that it would relate to my stuff. But if you can't, it's in your paper, so, you know, it says, hang on, we must be doing something wrong. How does the saying go again? You know, this cart before the horse issue. And I'm trying to emphasize that as we go along. Don't get it mixed up. Don't flip it around the wrong way on it. And so this thing of trying to be passive and do the work instead of letting somebody else do the active. Put it in the right order. Let God do it, and then you can be active, and that's where we're going with it. And so I thought that would be fun as we relate to that in that matter. Is that going to be a problem I can move at? Okay. So that's where we're moving along as we come, and that was my plan break. We are going to break, this will be short. I trust, and to the point as we relate to this, but some of these passages that we have to consider. We want to look at these pleroo forms, and we'll move right along because you have notes on them, but we need to remember we are not just, we can be filled by the Spirit, but there's some more befilling, and that's what we want to touch here. And it's rather interesting when we look in Romans, and we're in Romans 15. Romans 15 has an active and a passive related to fill. And he says, now the God of hope, fill, first there's active and optative, and that's a wish, you all, with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit, and I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you are also full of goodness. Now that's a different form of goodness, having been filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Having been filled with all knowledge. And it's kind of interesting, we're going to come back to that a little later at another part of this, because if you have experiential knowledge, I've known many believers who have lots of oida and next to no gnosko. And I've known many of them, and they have all of this information, and they've loaded up on doctrine and teaching, and they have never been in the kind of, or they haven't, or rarely been in a relationship where the Holy Spirit can give them gnosko. And that's really important. And that's why this passive is important here. If you want gnosko knowledge, you want to have experiential knowledge, you've got to be filled. That means get out of the way so you can be filled. And a lot of times we govern our lives by oida and never get to gnosko, because the Holy Spirit hasn't made up the deficiencies in that matter. And he talks about the God of hope fill. You see, you've got an active agent, the God of hope. He's the active agent. And so it's always a concern when we do this. There are a lot of people, or I shouldn't say a lot, I maybe wish there were more, that really want to get some information. But if it dies at oida, which it happens so often, they can quote verses, they can be involved with a lot of things, and you don't see any evidence the Holy Spirit has given them experiential knowledge, because they haven't let him do it in that matter. And so these verses are really interesting as they fit together, you know, the active versus the passive in this, and that's where it works very nicely. And so where we are is on the top of page 20 with that information. And like I said, I'm just going verse by verse. I have more comments in other places. God the Father fills up human deficiency. We are inherently deficient in so many areas when it comes to gnosko living. That is, living experientially. I mean, that's why the filling of the Spirit is so key in this matter. And then you have gnosko. Don't tell me you have gnosko if I haven't seen a relationship to the Holy Spirit in your life. If I don't see it, I have a lot of questions on it. And don't tell me I'm spiritual You can tell me that all day long, and I'll guarantee you 99% of the time somebody tells me that, it's not true. It's a mechanism in that matter. And so it's kind of interesting in this circumstance. Ephesians 3:19. And we have this being filled with the fullness of God. Well, I'm already going to go off into a whole bunch of other things in this area, but we'll just stick with the verse. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, in order that, there's a hina clause, you might be filled, and first there's that passive subjunctive, you might be filled with all the fullness of God. There you have pleroma. That you might be put in a position where God can fill you. If you're going to try it on your own, it's not going to work. You have to be in a position where God can fill you, then you can use it. And that's so crucial when we understand this thing called the spiritual life, and extremely important. Then sharing the fullness of one's position in Christ. Here's one part of that, and it's in the Christ book. Deal with some of this. If you have gone through some of that material in that book, and this is not to pitch it, but I do have some in that matter. And so it says, for in him dwelleth, I love that word dwell, katoikeo, to settle down and be at ease. And so it says, for in him, that's where it is, in him, in Christ, dwelleth, settles down and feels at ease, present active indicative, all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And so it's interesting when it says bodily, it talks about the God-man, and you have the fullness of the Godhead that was in his body, which involves human nature as well as divine. Now that's how we cherish. We'll share the fullness of the Godhead like he did in a similar sense during his earthly ministry as he set aside some of his glory, and there's a fullness in his human body which involves his human nature. And you are complete in him. You are complete in him. And so if you're looking, and I could have put this up here, and I didn't do it, do I? Did I? Oh, okay, I thought I had the Greek in here and didn't. Okay, you know what that is called? It's called periphrasis. It's a periphrastic. You are, for emphasis, in a state of being complete in him. Someone else makes you complete, makes you full, and let that happen. Boy, if you want to get involved in it, you can sure mess it up. But when you let him do it, you're going to be involved in something where nothing can be added. And that's because you are in Christ Jesus. And that's a major focus. And so most of these are just taken right out of your notes. I just copied them out and put them on this so we could tag along, knowing how we were going to, I was planning to handle it. And I put a quote in here down on the bottom of 21 to 22. Happens to come out of the In Christ book. I want to read part of it. It says, God's insurance program provides compound benefits. Grace believers are benefactors. All Christians are assured of a position in a unity that is in the Godhead similar to that shared between the persons of the Godhead. In the unity that the saint participates in the glory of God. Jesus Christ indwells believers. The indwelling of God the Father. God the Father in believers is based upon the indwelling of the Son. And I've got passages. In Christ, God ensures the fact the believer can mature spiritually and vindicate the Father sending the Son. And so you have that information. You can read the rest of that quote here or there in that matter. Now, next. The law is fulfilled. For what the law did not have the inherent power. That's what could. When you see can or could in your English text, it's always used, most of the time it's going to be dunamel. Did not have the power, that inherent power. And that's what it is here. And that's why I translated it that way. In that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. The righteousness of the law might be fulfilled. That's kind of nice. No bootstraps. No bootstraps. Somebody else is fulfilling any of that, and we fulfill the law as he did. Can't get any better than that, can it? And so when we understand that, I mean, this passage is so important. The law can be fulfilled because we are in Christ, and God the Father looks at us as one who is perfect in relationship and to any kind of law. And I think that should be important to us. And I have whole pages on some of these things at this point. Now we're going to Philippians chapter 1:11. It's a perfect passive participle here. And it says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Christ, Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. What I did, I went to the NASB. And the reason I went to NASB is because they translate it so you can see it even better. Having been filled. That passive is cleaner in that case. And it says with the fruit, and it is no S's on it, so it's a singular. It's the fruit. Remember again, this fruit is one fruit. And it says the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. That's what it's all about, isn't it? The glory and praise of God. If you're going to let God do the work and you're going to be passive in it, he gets the praise. He gets the glory. Can it get better than that? I don't think so. No. Let it work. Let him do it. And in the end, as the Holy Spirit grabs you by the arm and works arm in arm with you, with whatever benefits you've had, it can't help but give God glory, glory, glory. And you know, I always smile at that old song. It said, glory, glory, clear the road. I'm tired of toting this heavy load. And if you get out of the way, you're not going to be toting any heavy load. When you think in these terms. And that tells you how old I am. No, anybody recognize those words? Anyway. Sorry, I guess that's not good. Colossians 4:12. It's always interesting. I'm on the bottom of page 23, jumping to the top of page 24. We have a perfect passive participle here, and we have this fellow named Epaphras. And it seems to me there's somebody here that talked to me years ago about Epaphras. And I'm glad to see him. I haven't seen him for a while, and here he is. And I think Jeff and I talked about that on the phone about how many years ago? Probably when you first got somewhere. Were you over at... We were talking about Epaphras. Boy, look at the old man's got better memory than the kid. No, I don't remember where it was. Jeff and I definitely talked about it somewhere. Mm-hmm. Jeff likes character studies, and I remember talking about Epaphras. And what a neat picture. This guy, he gets mentioned almost as often as almost anybody else outside of the apostles in the New Testament. But Epaphras is one of you. That is one of you Colossians. A bondslave of Christ. And I'm translating, obviously. And they translated that in the New American Standard. Salute you, that is, greet you. Always laboring fervently for you in prayer, communication, and worship. That you may stand... mature and complete in the will of God. It's kind of interesting. Here you have the compound form, and he translated New American Standard, fully assured. It's plerao in a compound, and I've got to look at how I have it in your notes. You do have it noted on paragraph 1, 2, 3, after the Greek section on 24. I have plerao. Well, I thought I had the comp. Anyway, that's what it is in that matter. But this thing of being complete, completely filled, in where? The will of God. I've had more fun in that, and I've told the folks here often that when I got saved, one thing I wanted more than anything else was to do what God wanted me to do. And it was, in spite of my carnality and everything else, I still wanted to be what God wanted me to be and do what He wanted me to do. And the will of God was something I was concerned about. I haven't stopped. I want to be in the center of His will. I'm concerned about that. I want my people to be in the center of the will of God, His desirous will. And so, well, that's what I want more than anything else. I've been given a little bit of trouble with that. For some reason, you just talk about the will of God. Well, I don't mind talking about the will of God, because it's not my will, it's His that I'm worried about, not anything else. And so, I want that kind of thing, as being so fully persuaded without somebody else persuade you in the will of God. And you keep saying, I want a lightning bolt from heaven. Get out of the way so it can hit you. You know, if you want. You know, that's the problem. We tend to interfere. And this thing of interfering in relationship to God's will, we have our own plans and we try to figure them out by where we are. And it's always difficult, the desirous will. And I know when I was working on this, I thought, you know, I ought to crank out another Will of God chart set because I end up handing those out for years and years. We've handed them out like tracts. That's why I put it in the priesthood book, just so that somebody would have it if they didn't know about it. And handing those out. What color is that chart?
Purple.
See, that's I color code my charts. And we do that because there are 11 things in that chart that say the fellow or thelema are a part of what God desires for you and I as believers. Yeah. Richard Truman has one there. See, that purple chart is what we have handed. But it's in the priesthood book if you also need it. And I didn't have time to run any more than I did because I only had a couple pages to write in that matter. Anyway, so you see Epaphras in this circumstance. Now, we are headed to Romans 15:14, and here we have experiential knowledge. And we have it again in Romans 15:14. On down that passage, it uses a perfect passive participle to present the idea of being in a state of experiential knowledge as a result of the act of someone else on the believer. And I myself am also persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness and filled with all knowledge. Now we see we were there a minute ago with that. But this is a repetition of 15:14, so that we are well reminded of again. I Pleroa works with knowledge. Now, if it was just experiential knowledge, that's understandable. I like this next section where we get to Colossians 1:9. Because you can't have experiential knowledge unless you're out of the way and you let Him fill you with that knowledge. You cannot absolutely have full experiential knowledge unless He does it. He has to do it. And so that leads us down to Colossians 1:9. And so you have full experiential knowledge. Now what we have is epigenosis. Epigenosko is the verb. Epigenosis, the sis ending, describes the continuing action. It's describing an action with sis. Ma endings are result of an action. This is an ongoing action. And so the idea of Him filling you with epigenosko. Let's go down. I'll read the whole thing. Who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease. Present middle indicative. To pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the full experiential knowledge of His desirous will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That verse is not only a mouthful, it is just loaded with theology. It's loaded with what we call didache, doctrine to believe and to be practiced. It's loaded. And it's all around. I mean, this whole idea of full experiential knowledge. Do I need to say more? When you say of His will in all wisdom, whose wisdom? In all spiritual understanding, whose help? You see, there's just a huge amount of helpful material that is super practical in relationship to how we live. You know, it's interesting. You can pray all day long that God will give you experiential knowledge or full experiential knowledge, but until you let Him do it, it's not going to happen. Like I say, you can just keep on asking Him, and you wanted to get your hands on it. No, it's not going to happen. It's not really going to happen. And so we need to be reminded. These passages, are they important? You're right. Supremely important. And we can see that. And so Colossians 1:9, and I again have the information there for you. What did I do here? Okay. I'm just looking at notes. You have epigenosko as well in Colossians. I mean, in it's in Colossians 1:9. Okay. Filling. Okay. I'm counting on this. Filling in the fruit of the Spirit. 10% of play a role in the New Testament related to the occurrences. 10% means out of the 90 occurrences 10% of them are. Now, if, I should have just said, go look them up and find those passages with them. But I'm not going to do that to you. I'm going to do it so you don't have to look them up because they're in here. And so that you can see. If you want the fruit of the Spirit, you better let Him produce it instead of try to make it happen. Now, I've said it, and I've said it in our assembly over and over and over again, and that is, the fruit of the Spirit is not an enhancement of something you've had in the past. It is not some kind of a characteristic that you have within you. It is something that is supernaturally produced by the Godhead that you never had before salvation. And you say, well, I love my mother. Well, that's not agape love. That's probably stergo love, which is familial love, or else phileo, you see. And so this idea of agape love is, I mean, totally new to any person who's a believer. When they get saved, they now have a new kind of love available. See, and the same thing with joy. Oh, I was a happy Christian. I found my happiness in Jack Daniels. And I thought that was great, you know. And no, that's nothing to do with it. This is a mental, all of these are mental parts of what God does in the mind of somebody. And this kind of joy is a totally different dimension of joy where you are able to enjoy absolutely any circumstance like God does. As though you understood that He was totally in control. How does He enjoy things? Not because things are out of control, because He is absolutely knows what's happening. And when you have that kind of joy, you can be in the greatest catastrophe in your life. And the Holy Spirit can do that. And you don't have to be a masochist for that to happen. You just enjoy it because that's God's kind of joy. And we can go right down all of them. And in this section, and let me check my notes as to how I did this. I put actives on the top as 27. And I went back to the active in Romans 15. In Romans 15, what we have is this thing again, fill you with all joy and peace. Two parts of the fruit of the Spirit. He's the one who does it. He's the active one. You don't have, your name is not in there at all. He's the one that does it. It's an active voice. He's the one that does it. And if you get the idea that you're God, then you've got a problem. Philippians 2:2, it says, there it is, I've got it up there. Fulfill, and that's a present active imperative, ye my joy, and be ye like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. You know, it's kind of interesting. God has produced it, and He says, you use it. No, they're active. I mean, that fruit of the Spirit doesn't sit there to sit in the middle of your living room table or your dining room table and say, look at my fruit basket. No, it's something that you use. It's something that is for your life. It's something that is refreshing in the life of a saint in any circumstance of life. And that helps us understand in this matter. Now we move to passives, and I'm going to move right along. John 15:11. First there is passive subjunctive. These things have I spoken unto you, that your joy, my joy, might remain in you, and that your joy might be full, made full. Now, we are touching this, and I'm going to get there in a minute too, I hope. My joy. my joy. The fruit of the Spirit is not your joy. It's Christ saying, my joy. It's his joy. It's not yours. Don't think of it as yours. We're going to show you how he does this in the upper room. My joy, my peace, I leave with you. My love. And we'll look at them in a moment in that matter. And so John 16:20. In that day, and we don't have time to go chasing in that day. It's a key term in the upper room. He's looking forward to the day of Pentecost. You shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Up till now, up to this point in time, that's hitherto in the AV, have you asked nothing in my name? Ask and you shall receive that your joy may be full. This is happening at Pentecost, after Pentecost. Now, there we go. We just went to page 28. 17:13. I'm going to read these rather quickly. 17:13 says, "And now come I to thee," Christ is speaking to the Father, "and these things I speak in the world that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves." My joy brought to completion. Be fulfilled in them. Someone else is doing it. You can't buy tickets. You get out of the way and let this happen. Acts chapter 13, verse 52. Whoops, where did I go there? I must have skipped that one. You have a list here where you have, in verse 52 it says, the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. They were filled. Now, where I was, the paragraph under letter D, a quarter of the way up from the bottom, and the disciples were continually filled with joy. Someone else filled it. They didn't get it any other way in that matter. Now I'm up to, whoa, F. Okay. Sometimes I don't get everything done I wanted. Okay, I'm not going to do 2 Timothy 1:4, but you can see that I may be filled with joy. 1 John 1:4, which I have up here. Perfect passive participle says, "These things I write unto you, that your joy may be full." In John, 2 John chapter 12, or verse 12, however you want to designate it, it says, "Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full." You get believers together and you get fullness of joy. I hope you've been filled with joy in these times we spent today and yesterday and day before. That you let God fill your heart with joy. Bask in the grace of God and see what he has done. And that makes all the difference in the world. Now, oops. Don't get the cart before the horse. Don't get the cart before the horse. That's a no-no. Yet we live in a Christendom that has it the other way around. Okay. I told Jeff I had one I hoped he would see. And here's what happens. You know, the passive-active, we have a passive, and you're putting the passive behind the active. It's not going to work. When you keep trying it, you're going to kill a horse. That's what happens. You're going to kill a horse. That passive is not going to happen. And you're stranded with the cart without a horse. And you know, that's what happens to so many in the Christian life. They are stranded with just a cart and no horse. They haven't got the benefits, and in a sense, to them, the horse is dead. It's not really, because that's God. And so you're not letting God do things, and so this passive relationship is destroyed. And so this is what happens. This is what we're trying to discourage as we relate to this. And so we have the great example with play Rotwell in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. And then we have two roots for filling. We've looked at those. And we've gone through a number of illustrations of how that works in this matter. And then passive of play Rotwell in present tense salvation. involves the initial filling of the believer, and it involves some specific realms in which the passive filling relates to the present tense salvation. So this is where we've been. This is what you have in these pages. I guess I have another one on that. And that is the prominence of Ephesians 18. The negative, the positive are put together in this matter. Now, I have... And I'm not going to look at that because you have those in the notes anyway. Final statement. What is this? That is the last paragraph in the paper. Spiritual maturity is reliant upon the passive voice of voice verbs and the active voice verbs. Just don't reverse the order. The believer is passive first while the active persons of the Godhead work. Then the believer utilizes the provisions from the active God in his or her active living as he or she, I guess the R got in there. Did I have that up there too? Told you I copied. Yeah, it should be he. Okay. Are walking by means of the Spirit. So we come down to this issue. I hope today that we've looked at these things very closely and been a little introspective. Because the choice is yours. Are you going to get out of the way and let him do what he wants to do? Or are you going to keep playing interference? Are you going to keep being involved and butting into what God wants to do in your life? You remove yourself to the right hand and let God provide the blessings of grace, the great spiritual life. Are you going to get your head where it needs to be? Are you going to get your head up there? I didn't put the remove up in this, roll. You know, remove yourself to the right hand. Occupy yourself with what you have in Christ up there, and you let God do what he wants to do. Keep your hands off. Let him do the work. And then the E is you employ what he's provided by the Spirit, with the Spirit, and working together with him. Do you attempt to please God by your own standards, by your own self-effort? What do you think? What have you been thinking? You know, to me, one of these passages should convince or convict anybody who's got a problem, just one of them. Look at how many we've looked at in the past. Look at how many. And I think that should give us some real positives in the way we think. Okay, it's lunchtime, and so let's pray. And like I say, we have a problem downstairs. I don't know how we're going to handle it. And I don't know where we're at with it. So while I've been up here, I haven't been working on it. I don't think anyway. I don't have a split personality. Okay, so we go to break. Oh, there are two appendices, and it's just a list of mechanical things that relate to these subjects. And again, they're helpers if you need help in finding some of these things. Dear Father, we're so grateful for your work, the work of the Son, and the work of the Spirit, and we're thankful that we don't have to work, that we let you do it. I can't think of a better way to do it than to have persons of the Godhead that will work on our behalf if we let you do that. And we're thankful that that's a possibility. And then when you work, we can use what you've provided in the benefits package. And as a result, we can use those to your glory. And we can enjoy being together workers with our God. May you bless as we take this lunch break. May it be a time of blessing. Continue to remember the need that we have in the physical facility. We'll thank you as you meet those needs. May you bless the food, those who have prepared it. And most of all, we pray the fellowship. May it be sweet because of Jesus Christ. And we'll thank you in his name. Amen.